Now,
the rest of the story. Little Joanna was in accident searching for a place to happen. Not that her outrageous behavior was inexplicable, for during her 9 years, she had suffered as had few children. She had lost her mother, had been cruelly abused, had eventually been abandoned by a drunken father, had endured ghastly poverty, an illness which unattended had robbed her of most all of her eyesight. So Joanna's violent temper and obvious absence of affection for anyone was understandable, if not palatable. But then after her father left their wretched tumble-down shack one day and never came back, little Joanna was presented with the opportunity of a lifetime. The chance to go live with her father's cousin John and his family. John was a prosperous tobacco farmer, lived with his wife and several children in a big white house. And there for the first time ever, Joanna could be properly cared for, could be kept warm and fed and clothed and safe and even loved. But this is the rest of the story. Joanna's new family quickly grew frightened of her. She never missed an opportunity to be rude. Her mean-spiritedness frequently flared up in violent tantrums, throwing things. Then came Joanna's first Christmas at Cousin John's. In the days leading up to it, the front parlor was off-limits to the children, and the doors were kept closed. So naturally, Joanna waited until nobody was around. And then she went inside, where she discovered presents in various stages of being wrapped, and one in particular, a doll. Even though Joanna's eyesight was poor, the doll's loveliness was so apparent. It wore a beautiful blue dress and had golden curls, had arms and legs that moved, and when Joanna picked up the doll and cradled it in her arms, she just knew it had been chosen for her. This was to be her Christmas present, more wonderful than anything she could ever have dreamed of receiving. Thereafter, Joanna would sneak into the parlor whenever she could and play with the doll in the blue dress, until finally it was wrapped. The girl was left only with the delicious torment of anticipation, and then came Christmas morning. At last, the parlor doors were flung open, the children rushed inside, and there were two wrapped presents for Joanna. But judging from the size and shape of the boxes, her doll was in neither. So she dropped those boxes and peered about the room, squinting intently, and indeed, the gift she had believed was hers was somebody else's. Joanna stood frozen in disbelief for a long moment, following which she flew into a rage and startled even those who were accustomed to her rages. She jumped up and down on her own unopened presents, crushing them, and then she grabbed the doll. Unable to wrest it from its rightful owner, she proceeded to smash anything she could get her hands on. Toys, Christmas tree ornaments, even a precious vase that had been a wedding gift to Cousin John's wife. And perhaps predictably, the last straw incident cost Joanna her new home. Within days, she was packed up and on her way to the state infirmary at Tewksbury, Massachusetts, last refuge for the ultimately abandoned, where Joanna would reside in misery until the age of 14. I know it does sound like a waste. And yet, after she learned to control her own violent nature, who better than Joanna could relate to and eventually harness the relentless rage of another handicapped child? Another hopeless case named Helen Keller. For Joanna, beaten and neglected and nearly blind and repeatedly abandoned as the incomparable educator of Helen Keller, the miracle worker, Ann Sullivan. Only now you know the rest of the story.